You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined by a colleague and friend of many years, a man I have admired greatly for his acumen and his courage in terms of talking about a, well, highly topical but also highly controversial subject, namely climate change. He is Dr. Fred Singer. He is a professor emeritus of the University of Virginia. He has held numerous positions in government and in advisory capacities, including serving as the founding director of the U.S. Weather Satellite Service. He is a senior fellow with the Heartland Institute and the Independent Institute, the author of numerous books, some 10 of them, including the New York Times bestseller, which he co-authored, entitled Unstoppable Global Warming, Every 1,500 Years. Fred Singer, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. Great to have you with us, sir.
Thank you.
Maybe we could just start with the threshold question. The Senate has just adopted nearly unanimously a resolution to the effect that there is such a thing as climate change. Does that settle the matter in terms of the science of global warming and the rest of it?
Well, the statement that there is such a thing as climate change is almost self-evident. We have the question is it caused by humans or is it natural? That question has not been settled by the Senate. That can be settled by science. I think that the null hypothesis is that it's natural, and it's the burden of proof is on those who claim that humans have some influence, that they have to show that this is so. It's a very difficult issue.
It is indeed, and I guess part of the reason it's so difficult is that the models that have been developed in recent years, particularly for assessing this, have proven to be almost as controversial as the basic proposition itself as to the nature of and the causes of this change. We're visiting with Dr. Fred Singer, a senior fellow at the Heartland Institute and Independent Institute these days, the author of numerous technical papers, some 200 of them, 10 books, including Climate Change Reconsidered, a multi-volume work. And Dr. Singer, there is this question. Climate change is happening. Is it moving in the direction of warming at the moment, as we've been told, let alone catastrophically warming?
For the last 18 years or so, there has been very little change in the climate. That's agreed to by almost everyone. We don't know why that is. It's a big puzzle. The models all say that the climate should have been warming. So one thing we do know is that the models don't work. The models do not match observations, and we tend to believe that the observations have priority. The models are only as good as the assumptions that you stick into them. And of course, all the models are built by people who believe in global warming caused by carbon dioxide. So that's what the models show. They simply reflect what the modelers think, but they don't reflect what's happening in nature. That's really a serious problem. We need to solve that. We need to solve that problem before we do anything to limit the amount of carbon dioxide or do any other policy things that are extremely expensive.
That seems eminently sensible. Let me ask you first, before turning to what some of the costs might be, and unwarranted costs at that, Dr. Singer, by just asking the pregnant question here, are the models that are used, as you say, produced by people who are convinced of the reality of global warming and have been, you know, championing these sorts of changes in our behavior in order to, in their view, mitigate it? Do you believe that that is a function of a policy incentive, shall we say? That is to say that the scientists have been rewarded by government, going back, I guess, most especially to the Clinton administration, for coming up with these theories and models and propaganda?
Well, this is a good question, but unfortunately it cannot be answered by atmospheric science. It's a question in psychology, economics, sociology, and you had better address this question to experts in the field.
Okay. Well, let me turn to the area that you are expert in, and that is this question of what the data tells you and the kinds of changes that are being promoted in terms of our behavior whether it's taxing CO2 or whether it's ending coal generation of power and the like. Is there, in your estimation at this point, any justification for taking these sorts of draconian steps? And if not, is it your counsel that we not do that?
All of the policy steps have been described, raise the price of energy and lower the standard of living. They are very heavily on people of low income. So I would say that we should not take any of these policy steps until we are reasonably certain that they will do some good. At the moment, that is not the case. I'm against, therefore, doing anything from the point of view of mitigation.
And are there arguments in your professional judgment, Dr. Fred Singer, that counsel for continuing, if there is indeed a man-caused contribution to warming, that because net-net, the benefit to the planet, including the ability to grow various foodstuffs in places that you couldn't otherwise do and so on, actually benefits from a somewhat warmer climate?
Our agricultural experts, and there are many of them, tell us that the more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the better for agricultural crops, which means cheaper food for a starving world. In other words, we should not do anything against increase of carbon dioxide.
Again, assuming that we could actually do something materially to reduce it, talk, if you would, about methane, particularly as something that has been vilified of late. I gather your view is that it indeed does not have an impact on the global climate, the atmospherics. Is that correct?
Well, let me summarize. We've not seen any kind of human influence on global climate. Human influences are, of course, on local climate. Cities are warmer than the countryside, and so on. And we can affect the microclimate. We have air conditioning, we have heating. So we can create a local climate to suit ourselves. But there's nothing that I know of that we can do to really affect global climate that makes any sense.
And that would include efforts to restrict methane production that is a byproduct of, I guess, natural gas exploitation and the like.
Methane, many people claim, is a global warming pollutant. We find no evidence for this. That evidence is entirely phony. The only possible greenhouse gas is carbon dioxide. And as I mentioned earlier, we've seen no evidence that the increase of carbon dioxide that's taking place is producing any climate effects.
And finally, Dr. Fred Singer of the Heartland Institute and the Independent Institute, do you have reason to believe that we could more perfectly model these atmospheric conditions and the various factors that are at work in determining whether there is, in fact, really some significant climate change that man is contributing to?
I'm an eternal optimist about models. Some of my colleagues don't share that optimism. They think we'll never be able to model all the complications of the atmosphere. I believe that we probably can model the really significant effects in the atmosphere, but it hasn't yet been done. So I'm all for supporting sensible efforts in climate modeling.
But being realistic about the utility of those that are in hand. Dr. Fred Singer, we have to leave it at that. I thank you very much both for your record of service in this field and your contributions to the ongoing debate. It's a very, very sensible approach, it seems to me, and one that must be heard. We'll look forward to talking with you again soon. Next up, we'll be speaking with Garry Kasparov, the former world chess champion, about totalitarianism in our time and the war on modernity. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.